City here on 96.5 The Fan. Damn, glad to have you. Shout out to Ryan, the winner of the Booth Creek Wagyu Smasher Pass. Casey's Best Steaks now at two locations, 95th and Nolan, 135th and Metcalf. Shout out to the Royals taking 2 out of 3 in San Francisco.
Big series win. Does that count for people now, or is it still not good enough?
Well, let's see what they do against the Twins.
Yeah, okay. Eventually, we're going to push this line to, well, let's see what they can do in the divisional round of the playoffs.
I'm excited. You get three. You get a day off. Then you get three against the Twins. Then you get three against Cincinnati. I believe a day off on Thursday.
Yep.
And then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the Tigers come to town.
So 6 of your next 9 games are against two teams that are ahead of you in the standings or with you in the standings and against the Reds, who we were watching the highlights of during the commercial break. And Brady Singer was saved by his outfield yesterday in a big way numerous times. And so the Reds are coming in. They're no slouches right now either. So you've got 9 games coming up against some pretty good baseball teams. So you got to take care of business. And if they come out of this thing and they're 6-3 after these 9, people could be feeling pretty good about where the Royals are.
A few things from the text line. Deviled egg potato salad. Big fan.
Okay, I'm in on that. Yeah,
I have
that
had
sounds
it now
good.
Twice.
Yeah.
It is fantastic.
Yep.
Also from the text line from the 913, we have KFC every Memorial Day since I was a kid.
Oh, I love that. Hey, tradition, that's man. Awesome. If you got something that's cool, that's unique, that's different, that you do all the time, keep doing it. It's fun. Kids remember that kind of stuff. It's the memories.
And then shout out to my daughter, Jay Money. She graduated from West last night. That place was a madhouse. I am such a proud dad. So
yeah.
It is graduation season. You, sir, have a big one today as well.
Yep, 8th grade. I'm leaving after the segment and go and watch my daughter graduate from 8th grade. And my oldest is finishing up her freshman year at high school. So I'm with all the pops out there and mom's out there kind of going through it. My wife texted me this morning. She goes, I'm a little teary-eyed. I go, I've been that way for months. Why is it just hitting you now? Moms and daughters sometimes don't get along all the time. And so that's probably why. I think it's different father, sons, father, daughters, obviously. But it's going to be fun today to see that kind of part of her life move on. I did the carpool for the final time yesterday. Had a lot of Karens out there, so I'm good.
Yeah.
Don't need to go back.
I haven't double-checked. I set a reminder in my brain. I'm like, after you get done mowing, you go to the store and it's settled. Send Bob a text, ask him how it went yesterday.
Yeah.
And immediately it was just like,
I mean, it was a
great
bleep show.
But it sucked. I was like, I just sit back, hashtag bittersweet. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, there were cars at different angles. Somebody was parked in the way of everybody else because they needed to be because their kid's more important than everybody else's kid. So they're just going to park and block all the traffic until their kid moseys out, you know, of the middle school and does that. So from that standpoint, I won't miss it. But I mean, it's these lines that you just continue to draw and watch get older. It's like the whole Salvi thing factors in too, because when Salvi came up to the big leagues in, 2010 or whatever it was. I mean, I had a one-year-old and a zero-year-old for the most part. And now here we are going into high school with both of these kids. And Salvi's still doing his thing. And, when he gets done playing, his era's over. It's like he lasted my kid's entire childhood. And you don't get a lot of that in professional sports.
No doubt. No doubt. Someone asked if I'm going to hit the links today. No, I'm still on suspension from golf. I got to go to the driving range and fix the swing. They also said you need to clobber the money line on the Wolves with +7.5. Vegas set the same as game one. 67% of the money is on OKC. The line could drop to 7, maybe 6.5. Get on it now while you can. Sharks on the Wolves tonight as well. Cheers. You and I were talking about that earlier.
You're going to bet the Wolves tonight, huh?
Yeah, I'm saying.
That's what Max's saying. He's been in here all morning. He's like, I like the Wolves. I like Ant to have 30, and I like Rudy to have at least 9 boards. That was what?
Take Oklahoma City.
Yep.
Take the Thunder big.
Nice. Last night, my niece hit a walk-off grand slam to send the Burlington Lady Cats to state. I cried like a baby.
That's awesome.
Congrats.
Walk-off
That's so
slam?
Cool.
That's awesome.
Way to go. Let's share the success stories with the kids, man.
No doubt about it.
How about that?
That's awesome.
That's great.
Gosh, you being the endorsement lord around here, I would assume you'd have gotten Kleenex this time of year.
I know. This time of year should be Kleenex, yeah. I don't know. I hope everybody else has those feelings. I know I'm a little more emotional and whatnot than... You know, maybe I should be. I don't know, but I get all those feels, man. It's your kids, and you're seeing them do these great things and mature in front of your eyes. And, you know, I was talking to my daughter yesterday because, you know, I said, where do you want to go afterwards? I said, you know, we can go anywhere after school. She goes, I'd really like to go to Chick-fil-A. I go, it's 3:30. She goes, yeah, dinner. I go, what are you, at Jerry and Selmo? You're eating dinner at 3:30 and, you know, going to bed by 7 and waking up at, you know, midnight and having breakfast and, you know, all that kind of stuff, changing your diaper and all that. But I think ultimately it's like you look at this stuff and you're like, gosh, life goes so fast. You see your kids growing up before you. You want them to stay young forever. But man, we were having this conversation and I go, you know, it's going to be different when you go to high school next year. Like, you're going to have some friends that stay, you're going to meet new friends. There may be some friends that you have right now that you don't speak to. I said, for the most part, unless it's like your core group of friends, which mine are my college friends that we still do everything together with. It's like you have friends, they're in your life for a couple years here and a couple years there. People move on, people change. She goes, well, why can't we all just all be friends forever? And I'm like, you'd love to think that way, but it just doesn't work that way. Everybody just gets different things going on in their lives. And, you know, you have that true group of friends, I'm sure three or four people that everybody truly has as that true group of friends that they have that they can call anytime, any place, anywhere. And then you have people that have been in your life for this moment, for that moment, for this moment. And that's kind of how it works. And so I was kind of telling her that. I said, you're going to start, you know, peeling off some friends that you have right now, picking up some new ones, and things change big time.
Things didn't change yesterday with the NFL and the rulings. They did not proceed with the reseeding of what the Lions, quote unquote, said that they wanted to change. And the tush push was not advanced into the illegal side of things. So a good day, I think, for the NFL.
I think it was a really good day.
Unless you're the Packers.
The Packers, though, I mean, they were basically told by the commissioner, because you don't have an owner, you're going to propose to get rid of the tush push. And the Packers, like, we're not really in favor of that. The commissioner's like, I don't really care. You don't have an owner, so you're going to propose getting rid of the tush push. And
I
so
own you.
Everybody wanted to blame the Packers. Meanwhile, the Goodell was pushing for this. The more I think about it, I really probably would have liked the playoff seating to be changed. I know they weren't going to get rid of the divisions, and maybe that's the next step, is to get rid of the divisions and then change the playoff seating. I wouldn't have cared if they changed that playoff seating, because we're going to be the one seed regardless. I don't care.
Yeah, I would just, if you change the playoff seating, the divisions are dead.
They're dead. You're 100% right. That's why I've said get rid of the divisions.
I don't think one can be without the other.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
Because was the 3 seed 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl, was that the lowest the Chiefs have been with Patrick Mahomes?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Because he's hosted every NFC Championship game -2.
Yeah, he's been the 1 or 2 seed every year except that one year.
So, yeah, it really wouldn't matter. But, I mean, the 3 seed, they still on the road won every single game. But
right.
I am glad that they didn't ban the tush push.
I am too.
Because I don't think that people saw the other side. Had lunch with a buddy of mine yesterday, and he's like, yeah, were you in favor or not? And I was like, well, the other thing that came with it that maybe people didn't read up on is that it's not just the tush push. It's that 5-yard run that Kareem Hunt had that turned into a 10-yard run for a first down late in the fourth quarter to keep the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hand. That's gone too. So, yeah, you can ban the push, but also this is what also is banned. And it's kind of like, okay.
I wonder if it would have passed had they not put all that other stuff in it as well. Like, if it was just the tush push, would the ban have passed? I don't know. I think it may have been different. But I love the fact that Jason Kelce was in there filibustering for, I don't know, an hour, screaming and yelling and all this kind of stuff about, you know, how the he said he never would have retired if he could do the tush push on 60 plays.
Huh.
And owners are like, all right, I guess, you know, the word was, and the lies that people spread about things when they don't know the truth, well, he retired because of the tush push. The tush push is what did, there was that rumor out there. Kelce's like, that never did anything to me. Nobody's ever heard on this play. It's like right. The safest play you can run. And the tush push is what got owners to yell and scream at each other.
Mm-hmm.
This was what changed, like, the dynamic of that room where fights are breaking out. The tush push?
There's a bunch of tush pushing going on. I saw the sign that said, push my tush, and it was Jason Kelce holding the cardboard sign. And then what they said, it passed 22-10.
Yep.
Yeah. And Philadelphia beat Green Bay in the playoffs this year, 22-10.
No, they didn't. Well, that was a fine. I didn't see that. That's
love
great.
It. That
hilarious.
Is cool.
Can't make that stuff up.
And I do. I love the troll job that the Eagles Twitter account did too. Put a picture of them against Green Bay up.
Yeah.
It's like Green Bay is getting all the hate for this. But meanwhile, it was really Goodell who did this. But that's what happens when you have fans on your team. You kind of become the bee of the league, and they can kind of tell you what to do because nobody's standing up for you. Bill from Oshkosh ain't going in there with a block of cheese and a light beer and a cig saying, hey, tush push. But you ain't got no owner. You're going to do what we tell you to do.
Yeah. Goodell will be extended for 4 more years and get more money too as well. So he's probably not going to go anywhere.
No. That dude's making like 60-some million dollars a year. And deserves every penny of it. And
coming out on draft night on a bike.
Yeah.
Yep.
Flex that, baby.
I know I'm in love with Goodell, but does anybody live a better life than Roger Goodell? I mean, the guy's making 60-some million dollars a year.
Guy Fieri.
I don't know that he's making that kind of dough.
I mean, I don't know if he's making that kind of dough, but his net worth is nice.
And is it?
Just gets to do like 3 of the greatest shows on television.
What do you think his net worth is?
Guy Fieri's?
Yeah.
I bet it's $150 million. I bet it's 150 to 200 million.
He's the face of, much?
Face of Food Network. He has his own brand of food, like sauces and meats and whatever it is. What do we got here?
Estimated to be around 100 million.
What about Roger Goodell?
Oh, jeez.
What do you think his net worth
is?
This
is the game me and my buddy Paul do when we're hammered on my patio and we get frustrated with society.
I'll tell you, the one of the best games to play when you're hammered, and it's hard to do here, but my friend lives in the flight pattern of O'Hare in Chicago, betting on where the flight's coming from and getting on an app, a dollar a flight, and trying to figure out where they're coming from.
Goodell's net worth
money.
Is $300 million?
$250. He's earned over $700 million as the commissioner.
I hate life.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. There's nobody,
close to a billion.
There's nobody living a better life than Roger Goodell.
You're immediately angry. I hate this game.
He's making more than any player, and he doesn't have to sacrifice his body or any of that. Like, kids, don't be an NFL athlete. Be an NFL commissioner.
You want the one that'll really drive you crazy? Type in Katy Perry's net worth.
Oh, no.
She's just...
It's $350 million. I can save you the time. It's insane. Aaron Rodgers is going to go to the Saints. They're one of their quarterbacks in competition. Just got hurt. Jake Heener. Three-way competition.
Who?
Jake Heener.
Never heard of him.
Joey Chestnut's favorite quarterback. Sources say Heener will likely be out the remainder of OTAs with an oblique strain.
You got to be kidding me. How do you go on if you're New Orleans?
Without Heener? You can't be a wiener without Heener.
I've never even heard of that guy.
No doubt about it. Coming up on the other side, the deep ball needs to come back for the Chiefs, says Mac. That's one way to get Bob to leave the studio. Go enjoy graduation.
Enjoy
the moment. Give her a hug for all of us. We'll be right back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station. 96.5 The Fan.
Fesco and Dusty. Dusty Likens, Mac Morey with you for the rest of the afternoon. Bob's at his daughter's graduation, so shout out to Lil Fesco on accomplishing another level of school.
Shout out.
Do you remember your graduation day? Like, do you remember driving to school or driving to the event or whatever?
Middle school, no. High school, yes.
Yeah, high school for sure.
We didn't
have a middle school graduation.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. You didn't, yeah.
Yeah, we didn't do any of that.
Well, obviously it wasn't a big deal because I don't remember mine.
Yeah. No, high school for sure. I remember we almost died on the way there.
Jeez.
Yeah. Guy wasn't watching the road, got on the on-ramp, got in the highway semi-truck.
Whoa.
It was almost a story on the news.
Damn, that's scary.
And then a bird crapped on my head right before I walked in. True story.
Yeah, because y'all had your graduation at, like, where'd you say
Municipal
it was?
Municipal Auditorium.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they do it now at the Independence Event Center or whatever it's called now.
Okay.
That's where they do it now. But, yeah, we had a Municipal Auditorium 10 o'clock in the morning. It was tough. Yeah, get your camera on.
Yeah, trying to center this beautiful face.
So you have had something that's kind of like grinded your gears for a while this week because you really want to see Mahomes get back to his groove. And that groove is the fact that his number one weapon is his arm being explosive down the field at a successful rate. And you and I kind of collabed. I heard Cody saying something yesterday about it on Cody and Gold about Xavier Worthy's average route, like throwing route, was like 9 yards.
His yards per target, I believe.
Yeah, yards per target were like 9 yards. That's a little bit of an issue.
Yeah.
That's a bit of an issue with the Chiefs and what they drafted Xavier Worthy with a 4.2 140.
Don't think that would crack the top 20.
No.
For reference, Alec Pierce leads the league, I think, with over 11 yards per target. 2 yards is a lot, big difference. If you're not in double digits for a guy like Xavier Worthy, and there are reasons for why that happened, right? Injuries, change of role, he's a rookie, all those things. But, you know, 16 targets that were deep, quote-unquote deep targets, which is 20 or more air yards, to Xavier Worthy, only 3 of those were receptions. So that's both on Xavier, and that's on our guy, Patrick Mahomes. And as you mentioned, his arm is his biggest weapon. He's the most skilled quarterback we may have ever seen.
Right.
And so you've got to get him back in his bag in that way. And I think there are reasons for why it happened, as we mentioned, but it is extremely important that this offense become explosive again.
To be fair, in back-to-back years, he's had a rookie wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do know that Rice and maybe a little bit of Xavier Worthy have kind of bucked that trend of Andy Reid drafting a rookie wide receiver and giving them kind of the keys to the road. Obviously, Jerry Maclin in Philadelphia and DeSean Jackson were kind of exceptions as well.
Yep.
Still weren't like, you know, over the world moonshot like Justin Jefferson type of guys, right? But they weren't sort of that drafted person. Like, I don't think Maclin was coming to a franchise to be the savior at wide receiver like Justin Jefferson was. But Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, both roles were extended quite a bit more than we ever saw Tyreek Hill, at least in my – I mean, I know Tyreek Hill had the explosiveness downfield, and one thing that we always hated was the fact that we'd see the still shot of Alex Smith getting ready to release a check down pass, and Tyreek Hill's up here holding his hand in the air. You're like, just one time.
Yeah, just let him go. Let him go. Last season, he finally started to.
And you look at last year, too, injuries. The year before, you had just all of the debacle at wide receiver. You had, you know, Rashee Rice wasn't going to be the guy he was his rookie year until he was forced to Andy Reid's hand, right? Andy Reid likes to play rookie receivers close to the chest. I've got this, this, and this, but I'm not going to expose my hand until I've got it confirmed that I know it's, you know, the nuts. It's the winner. And I think in both situations, I think both came with anomaly of a situation, right? The year before, Kadarius Toney couldn't do anything. Sky Moore was a failed product. And everybody's double covering Travis Kelce.
Yeah,
so
like
we've
MVS.
Got to use, yeah. And MVS couldn't catch anything except for the clutching catch against the Baltimore Ravens. But you had to use something. And Rashee Rice was like, hey, man, you can trust me. And it was little by little by little by little until eventually it was like, all right, that guy's going to be a real one. Fast forward to year two for Rashee Rice. He was getting ready to go off to be like Nico Collins is to CJ Stroud. They were identical at the beginning of the season with yards after catch and total yards. I think Rice at one point was third in the league. Nico was number one. You have Rice that goes out, Hollywood Brown that goes out. You still kind of have Sky Moore.
No.
Eventually goes on the IR and he's out for the rest of the season. And it's like, all right, Rook, here's what we did last year with Rashee Rice. And at the beginning, there were some territorial boundary issues with Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, he didn't have sideline awareness.
You could throw some of that on Mahomes.
But
you could throw a lot of that on Xavier Worthy. And then it's like, hey, instead of maybe trying to go home run with you, let's try to build your confidence up and use your speed. In fact, I think Xavier Worthy's first touchdown in the first game of the season was a jet sweep right up the middle against Baltimore.
It was.
Right? And
it was awesome.
You could fantastic.
So
and
fast.
You could use that however way you wanted to use that. And then you could start using him in drag routes and kind of, you know, maybe soften over the top. But then as we saw throughout the year, the guy with the arm, with the experience, had kind of lost a step because
lost
he hadn't been
touch.
Throwing a lot, right? He put his driver in the bag, was winning three wood and hybrid off the tee box. Well, then he got to a hole where he had to hit it 565 yards on a par five. He got to get down there. You need that driver. And he was slicing the driver because he wasn't using it as much. That's what we saw. But you also think about it in this regard. You drafted a guy with 4.21 speed. I think we're going to see your wish come true next year if, in fact, you do have a healthy Rice, a healthy Hollywood, right? Because Hollywood should be running the routes that Xavier Worthy was running last year, this year.
Yes. He's going to be great in that intermediate world.
Right. And then that's where you get Xavier over the top.
Yep.
And maybe getting more in tune to it and getting that more desire and fire to kick those tires deep, you might see that completion percentage rise.
He was 13th as far as pass attempts on these passes out of 33 quarterbacks. So he did get the reps. Like, he was throwing these balls. So
right.
I just think, like you said, the touch wasn't there. Catchable ball percentage of 50%. That's 25 out of 33. So a lot of this, I do believe, is on Patrick Mahomes. But you're right. Like, get Rashee Rice back there, who was the number one yak guy in the NFL before he got injured, above Deebo Samuel, above Ja'Marr Chase. Now, obviously, Ja'Marr would have surpassed him with the triple crown year that he had, but that's what we're talking about. He's a top two, top three yak guy in the league. What does that open up? Everyone's got to suck in. Everyone's got to go close to the box because they're worried about him making a 20-yard catch out of a 4-yard screen pass. All of a sudden, Xavier Worthy and Hollywood Brown are right past you, and you're like, wait, what just happened? So I think there are reasons to believe that this gets back on track. But I just want to emphasize, I mean, you look at the Bills, you look at the Ravens, I think those are the two biggest contenders in the AFC. If you want to extend that out to maybe the Houston Texans, all three of those teams have not just the ability, the capability, but they have the propensity. They are going to get explosive plays on you. And the Chiefs are going to have to be able to answer to that. And I think it's not in the explosive run game either, because you see the Bills, they have explosive runs, a run of over 15 yards. The Ravens, that's a lot of what their explosive plays are. We know that's not the Chiefs. They're not going to get big run plays. That's okay. It's got to come through the passing game, and they have the guy to do it, and they have the weapons now to do it. So let's see what happens.
I think the fortunate slash unfortunate thing about the Chiefs' offensive weapons is that they all have to be together for the product to work.
I agree.
I think that sounds confusing, but you need the Yak guy and Rashee Rice to let Kelce go underneath that.
Yep.
Plus, you need Hollywood Brown to be the kind of out route, the kind of, you know, the wheel outside, the bubble screen guy for Xavier Worthy to be over the top. If one guy's out, it faults the entire system. That's why I don't really put any blame or emphasis on Matt Nagy. And I know that's the easy guy to blame, as the text line will say that. And, you know, Twitter world will say it's Nagy, it's Nagy, it's Nagy. But again, you look at the last two seasons of what this offense has dealt with. Bunch of drops and no trust. And you had a rookie to be your leader at receiver, an aging Kelce as well. And then last year, you lose your number one wide receiver, and maybe your you definitely lost your number two wide receiver in Hollywood Brown. Now,
and your number one running back.
No doubt. And again, you're doing all this with question mark at left tackle and left guard. And this year, that's another big factor is that's why football is so hard. Because in order to keep the product oiled and going, everybody's got to be there. And I know that might sound obvious, but you've got to have the trust in your left tackle. You've got to have your trust in your receiver to know where the out of bounds is. And you got to have your trust in your quarterback that he's going to put it there. And all you got to do is look up and there's a little pigskin dropping in right into the basket.
Yeah, because I watched, you know, just nerd Mac out here, 5-minute clip of all of his passes from the clean pocket on deep balls. A lot of those are just errant throws. Now, as you said, Xavier Worthy not knowing is that on the field. Maybe a drop here or there happens, but 7 for 33 on deep balls with a clean pocket. So the text line telling me it's the offensive line. No, these are just looking at, hey, he had time here. How was the throw? I do have issues, or I do have concerns as well, though, with the offensive line, as you mentioned. I don't know. How do you? I know we're changing a little bit, but how do you feel? Like, talk about deep balls. It is going to take that left side of the line. I mean, how do you feel right now?
I mean, to steal the bit from one word, I'm just kind of like out there, because if it does work with Josh Simmons and he is that guy that can patch that up, even if it's just for one more second, gives the feet to set, that gives the vision to lock and the arm to release. And if you can do all of that because of one extra second, like, you will see that Mahomes sort of MVP season. He'll have the trust. He knows his targets. He knows his guys. Year 3 of Rashee Rice. Year 2 of Xavier Worthy. Year 37 of Travis Kelce. You know, and then Juju's out there as a veteran as well.
And they got this rookie, Jalen Royals.
Yeah. Does Royals play more snaps than Juju by the midway through the season?
I think so.
Would be a success if that's the case. Would be
huge.
Detrimental, I think, if Juju's still taking more snaps than Royals by the midseason. Means either somebody didn't get it, or Juju's shown some sort of anomaly of a season, like, hey, I'm going out one more time.
I'm
trying to get one more bag before it ends. So, in case you missed it, they announced the Hard Knocks schedule last week or yesterday. Going to do the AFC East, right? That's the preseason. Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets.
Yep.
About one team, maybe two teams of interest. There's some divas and rock stars on Miami, but the Bills are there. Also, if you didn't notice, the Buffalo Bills got a Christmas movie. Okay. Also, Josh Allen won the MVP. I have never seen more hype or glazing for a team that has accomplished so little get proclaimed to be so much. Now, the analogy in my world, and I tweeted this yesterday, the Buffalo Bills are Aldi. I got no problem with Aldi.
Aldi's good.
I like Aldi.
Yeah.
Right? Everybody knows what you get when you go there. Mm-hmm. It's a place where you get a few things that you don't get other places because they're cheaper and you can trust them. Great produce. You bring your own bag. You have a quarter to get your shopping cart, or somebody gives you the quarter. Everybody's kind of in tune with what Aldi is. It's not a knock on the brand. It's a good place. It's got good stuff. It's not Target. It's not Hy-Vee. It's not Price Chopper. It's not Costco. The Chiefs are Costco, right? The Bills are Aldi. The Chiefs are Costco. I can go to Costco. I can get a mattress. I can get a s'more set. And I can get macaroni and cheese. I can't get a mattress at Aldi.
No.
I can't go that far. The Chiefs can take me as far as I want to go because I've been there. I've done it. I can buy in bulk. I get a lot of wins there. Not a lot of losses at Costco. Aldi, I might try their Aldi brand pizza. Meh. But everybody likes to gas up Aldi like it's the only place they go. Everybody gasses up the Bills as if they're this team that has proven a bunch of stuff. Mac, what have the Bills won? I mean, the Ravens don't even get this.
No. The Ravens get like the opposite of this.
The Detroit Lions don't get this.
No.
And yet here's Buffalo every year seemingly losing to the playoffs, whether it's to Burrow and the Bengals, whether it's to Mahomes and the Chiefs. Yet here we are putting the Bills on a Hallmark movie. We're putting the Bills on Hard Knocks. We're putting the Bills right in front of your face. Because I still believe that Lamar Jackson should have won the MVP last year. I think that's a true, honest fact. I think that there was fatigue in voting, and it just felt like this was Josh Allen's time. Who was feeling that besides the league wanting this to happen? Like, it's just, it seems like that's the way it goes. Like, I love Aldi again. I will go there for produce. I will go there for $5 sparkling white wine. I'm not going there for my ribs. I'm not going there for my meat. I'm not going there for the things that I go to Costco or Hy-Vee or Target for. That's just the way it is. They've proven they're that in that world. Aldi's Aldi. It is what it is. The Bills are who they are. They're the team that went to 4 Super Bowls, never won one consecutively. They're the ones that always seem to lose to Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, but they get praised in the regular season. They're the best team. They got the quarterback. The gap is closer between Mahomes and Allen. Is it? Because he won an MVP, now he can be on that level. Oh, they sell Kraft macaroni and cheese at Aldi, just like they do at Target and at Hy-Vee. So it's kind of the same, right? It's not.
Nope.
You're a lesser product, but you get the hype that the bigger products get, and I just honestly am confused by it.
Yeah, it's consistent with the Bills. You know what you're getting. It's James Cook. It's a Sean McDermott shot, and it's Josh Allen heroics, just like Aldi. But like Costco, diversifying wins. The Chiefs could win by 40. They could come back in 13 seconds. Mahomes could throw for 500 yards. Or who knows, Chris Jones could bat Joe Burrow's pass at the end of the AFC Championship game and win in nail-biting fashion. The Chiefs can do it in every way. I do have a fear right now, though, Dusty, that with what you're saying, because it is true, the NFL – it seems like this year, they're the golden child, the Bills. They're favored in every game. They're getting the Christmas movie. We already gave Allen the MVP. I mean, what's next? It seems like they really want them to hoist the Lombardi trophy.
And that's
soon.
Something the league can't help them do. Super Bowl, they can't help you do that. Like, you could say the refs and the Chiefs. Like,
no, I'm not.
On.
Yeah, I'm not Bob on that.
Yeah,
no.
But I mean.
But I do think they want it.
They 100%.
Want that because once Allen gets that Super Bowl, now you officially have the Brady Manning thing. They're trying to force it, before it was great, but now it's 4 times in a row.
Right.
If it's 5, that is over. It is done. They don't have a rivalry anymore. They might not now.
I would love it. I would love for the Bills to actually prove to something to me to see it.
Yeah.
Because you know what I can also get at Hy-Vee? I can get gas. The day Aldi has gas pumps, that's the day the Bills have a Super Bowl title. They are. They're the Aldi of grocery stores. Yeah. And that's not a shot.
No, Aldi's great.
It's fantastic. I got an Aldi's keychain. It has a quarter. It's a gnome. I've always got a quarter in my pocket. But you know what? I still go other places that I know win, that have proven commodities. I just thought that last year and now moving into this year, the Bills are being forced into this narrative that I don't understand why it's there. Is Josh Allen the second best quarterback in the NFL?
Yes.
Hands down, absolutely.
Yes.
Is he one of the more talented quarterbacks I've ever seen play football? Absolutely.
100%.
Are the Bills a good team? Yes, they are. But they have a very weak division, and they lose every year to the same team at the same time. So make it make sense.
I mean, and it's either the Chiefs or it's the Bengals. They've lost to the Bengals when it matters, too. I mean, Josh Allen has been unable to beat both Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes when it matters. Now, it's not all on Allen. It's the Bills, too, but it's a part of it.
But nobody's pushing Cincinnati.
No one's pushing. It's the last year in the stadium from the 816 as well. It all feels like it's lining up.
So you're saying the Bills win the Super Bowl?
It's what I have right now.
Who do they play in the NFC? Detroit? Who do you root for in that situation? Boy, would that be America's sweethearts. Bills versus Detroit.
Yeah.
Super Bowl Sunday. Somebody's really going to lose. Somebody's really going to win. I don't know who I would root for in that Super Bowl.
I don't know who I would either.
I think I would lean Buffalo.
Me too. I love Josh Allen. But if Buffalo's in it, that means they just lost. Or they just beat the Chiefs. So that means I'd probably be better and be rooting for the Lions.
Yeah, because Mahomes would then have 3, Allen would have 1. Then we would start seeing the glazing of the Baltimore Ravens.
Be like, well, Mahomes had the 20s. Get ready for the 30s. It's going to be Allen's decade.
Bring it on. I mean, literally, I'm down with that. I would love nothing more than more competition because rivalries in sports work just like dynasties do. If you have a hardcore rivalry in a sport that works, I mean, look at what Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese
done. Reese, man.
Right?
Yep.
Caitlin Clark plays tonight again against Atlanta. But again, like, you've seen what that one altercation did. Some people were idiots and took it to be about themselves.
That's ridiculous.
Whereas other people like us that are rational were like, you know what? These two are the future of the league that need to keep going at each other. This is, I'm ready for rounds two, three. This is Brady and Manning. That's what I want.
Yes.
But you know what Brady and Manning did? They both won the title.
They Manning both beat a little each later, other.
And they both, yeah, they beat each other in big moments.
Yes. Yes. Not regular season week 11 at home. No. Under the lights at Arrowhead with everyone screaming against you. And again, I'm not blaming those losses on Josh. A lot of those losses on Josh Allen. Last year, I would blame more on Josh Allen than any of the previous three. He had the ball with time. He could have taken the lead. He didn't. Also, get a yard. Miss me with the tush push stuff.
Glazing.
Glazing can be defined pretty easily. It's simply the latest term to describe what happens when someone goes too far in showing how much they like someone or something else, to the point of being ridiculous.
Last night we saw it. A renaissance is beginning in basketball, and it's also started in football a year ago. Which one is the bigger position of the renaissance? Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, you're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.
Told you.
Hey.
Back at it here. Mac Morey, Dusty Likens with you on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco's out for the rest of the day. We started talking about the NBA. I'm kidding. He's got graduation for the family. Enjoy it. Fun day.
It's awesome.
Yeah. You doing some grilling on the grill tonight? Got to.
What are we doing tonight? Yeah, it is so nice. Yeah, I could probably grill tonight. We don't have dinner plans, so it's up to me probably when I get home.
Do the Yick and Caesar salads, man. Just.
Oh, she would love that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we did. She did have a chicken Caesar wrap last night. We did
different.
Yeah, you're right. It is different. And we do grilled. We did fried chicken. We'll do grilled chicken tonight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. That's different enough.
Get the tenders.
Grilled tenders.
Yeah, get the tenders. The chicken tenders.
I've got the Kins. Got the Kins on lock, baby.
You're good. You
got
to have that. Yes, I got that stocked like Emily's got sour cream stocked. I promise you. Shout out EP.
Always. The goat.
No doubt. But yeah, it's the tenders, the little sliver ones. You know, they look like tenders. They cook better. They're tender, literally. No pun.
And you just salt, pep, throw them on the grill?
Well, I marinate mine in like a Italian dressing and like a Ziploc. So put them all in a Ziploc bag, pour the Italian dressing on, throw it in the fridge, take your nap.
Nice.
Put your bowl in the freezer for the lettuce.
Oh, that bowl. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or the other one. Make sure you have ice cubes in the bottom of it.
Gotcha.
And then, then you put the tenders on the grill, cook them, let them rest for a little bit. While they're resting, you chop up the romaine, put it in your cold salad bowl, put your dressing in there, your shredded Parmesan,
hell
couple
yeah.
of croutons. Then those diced chicken, mix it all together. Smash. Hey, babe, here's a bowl of salad for you. And then let's go have a bowl of salad on the patio. So we're seeing something in basketball in this Final Four of the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference Finals. I know that Ant's position is not necessarily point guard, but let's be honest, 80% of the time he's playing that position, right?
He's trying to run the offense, yeah.
Sure. Halliburton showed his sack last night, right? Like, that guy was nuts.
That's incredible.
Hits the game tire. He's hit three game winners. He roasted Cleveland. He's really taking those 19 votes out of 450 plus of the most overrated player in the league to heart. But hey, give you an inch, take a mile.
Yeah.
Right?
11 for 12 on those shots this season. 11 for 12.
I'd say that's proven.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So you have Halliburton, Anthony Edwards, SGA, Jalen Brunson. Right? For a while in the NBA, it was like Chris Paul and a couple others.
Yeah.
Right? It wasn't like four guys that I would consider household names. I would consider all four of these guys household names.
Yeah, I think so.
For different reasons, right? Brunson, New York. Halliburton, dad. SGA, MVP. Ant, face. Okay?
Yep, new face.
That's a renaissance in the position of the point guard. People are really realizing that your backcourt is important. We watch college basketball and March Madness. Most often than not, the teams that survive and advance more than others have the backcourt, right? They have those guys. They've got the guy that controls the ball. That's why Kansas was good for all those years with Bill Self. They had the point guard, whether it was Sherron Collins, Frank Mason, you know, whoever it would have been. Devonta Graham.
I love Sherron Collins.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Oak Park and state champs. But there's a renaissance to me in the point guard position in the NBA, almost to the point where there's been a renaissance in the NFL with the running back position. Right? Because what has everybody said in the past? You never draft a running back in the first round. Some of the best running backs have been drafted in the first round in recent years.
Yep.
Robinson, Gibbs,
yep.
Saquon, guys like that.
We'll see Ashton Jeanty
this year.
Yep.
The kid from Carolina that went to LA.
Omarion Hampton.
Another one that's going to be one of those guys. Brian Robinson Jr., believe, was a first round pick.
Was he? Wow.
Maybe not. I could be wrong with that. That could be a wrong stat.
Najee Harris has been okay.
He had that Alabama love.
Yep.
But that's the thing is that a couple years ago, Austin Eckler was out here advocating that running backs are being scrutinized in the NFL. They're getting paid less for doing more. And then all of a sudden we realize all these teams that are starting to kind of pile up are finding their running back. And whereas the Chiefs chose to zag against this, everyone else is kind of getting that running back sort of system. Detroit's offense is great, running back. Buffalo's offense was good last year with Josh Allen and Cook was good, right? Most touchdowns, I believe, is running back.
Yep.
You look at Miami. Yeah, they have the receivers in Waddle and Hill, but they ran that two-back set a couple years ago with Mostert and Achane, and that's the best that team's ever been.
It's explosive.
Massive. Detroit, Montgomery, and Gibbs. The running backs are making a name for themselves all over again, like they were in the 90s. Point guards, like they were in the 90s, are taking where everybody would focus in on the power forward or the small forward. Now it's more so like, and I know Steph has always been there, but we don't think of Steph as a point guard, right? We think of Steph as a shooting guard.
Yeah.
At least in my opinion, maybe I'm NBA ignorant, but that's the way I look at that. And I think there is that sort of fun renaissance in these two sports.
Yeah, I think it's definitely happening in both sports. I think in the NFL, we're seeing it more with the running back position with the point guards. I mean, you mentioned two of them, Jalen Brunson and Tyrese Halliburton. Those are two of the most true point guards in the game. I struggle to find other true point guards in the NBA right now, whereas in the NFL, we're seeing the running back. With the NBA, though, you are seeing, okay, we kind of need to get those point guards back. It's not enough to just have a 6'8 athletic dude try and run this offense. We need someone who can actually go through progressions and not just run a pick and roll, but actually see the whole floor. And then the running back with the NFL, I mean, you mentioned it, but there's other teams too. I mean, Algier and Robinson in Atlanta, even lesser combos, but in Seattle. I mean, we've seen Kenneth Walker and who's our guy, Charbonnet, kill some people on the ground. So I think the renaissance of the running back is at a higher level in the NFL because we're seeing it more. But I think the renaissance for point guards in the NBA is beginning. I think that is beginning, and it's starting now with this finals or with this Eastern Conference finals, seeing the two best point guards in the game go at it. On the Western Conference, I don't see it as much. I think Ant will get there. I think SGA is a guy who looks more for his than for others. But you need someone to be able to run the offense. It's weird in the NBA, too, because, I mean, Jason Tatum is a fantastic passer. He runs the offense. Is he a point guard? Is LeBron James a point guard? I don't know. That's what's hard about it, too.
Right. And you look at both sports, like the three-point jump shot evolved in basketball, and we ran away from that skill set of high low dish and run or whatever, give and go. Whereas in the NFL, we ran away from running the ball 40 times a game to we're going to be high octane and we're going to pass the ball. The 3-point jump shot and the deep pass and the offense are essentially the parallel of each other.
Exactly.
Whereas
right.
you lost two positions because of it. Whereas now all of a sudden, people have started to learn to stop that or to press against that and use something that no one else is using to where it's like, oh, yeah, we forgot about RBs.
We
forgot about the guy who could penetrate through the lane, all of a sudden dish it and create the three.
Yes.
But now that we're taking away three, he's getting nonstop points at a higher level of consistency.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, as we figure out more of what is successful in sports and what leads to wins, you start to figure out, okay, how do you get there? Because it's not just, okay, this is what's successful, this is what works, all right, do that. That's not how sports work. That's why we watch. Because if everyone could just, all right, let's shoot threes, but how do you get those shots? How do you get those looks at a deep pass for Xavier Worthy down the sideline that we so badly want to see more next season that we just talked about? It's by those other things. And you bring that to a Chiefs perspective, Rashard Smith.
Yeah.
Let's hope.
When were the last time these guys were relevant as point guards? Kyrie Irving, Rajon Rondo, Brian Westbrook, Baron Davis, Chris Paul, Steve Nash.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Okay. Because I was just told that my take is so hot, bro. Kyrie, Rondo, Westbrook, Baron Davis, Chris Paul, Steve Nash, point guards. Come on, bro. Yeah, you just don't watch the NBA.
No.
No, I've watched the NBA. No. That was 2000.
Yeah, dude,
it is
talking,
2025.
Talking mid-2000s, brother.
Yeah, kiss it.
No, we are in
it. Oh, Jason Kidd. Forgot about him, too.
Jason Kidd.
Jason Kidd. He's been coaching for 10 years.
What are you talking? One of the best point guards ever.
Are you sure you watched the NBA?
Yeah, come on, man.
Are you watch? You sure about that?
You sure about that?
You sure that's why? Come on.
Baron Davis.
He's married to the girl from Jurassic Park, Dr. Sadler.
Steve Nash won an MVP in 2005.
Steve Nash. He's got a podcast. John Stockton.
John Stockton's good.
You know what? Magic Johnson.
Magic.
Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
Those players are
dead,
man.
You just don't watch the NBA. No, I watched the NBA when you did, too. And I'm watching the NBA now.
Yes.
Hall of Gamers. Baron Davis.
No, we don't have guys like that besides Halliburton and Brunson. And they run their offense so well.
You're a really good point guard last couple years. Derek Fisher.
Derek Fisher.
God.
I think Derek Rose has a future.
Steve Nash.
Steve Nash.
It's been 12 guys with MVP since he won last.
Hey, oh, 816 says, loved Steve Nash on 2K7.
Yeah, that came out last year.
Yes.
You just don't play video games. Coming up on the other side, we'll get into the Royals and what they accomplished last night because I think it was a statement win. It's Mac Morris, Dusty Leggins, listen to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 965, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.